Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just to the east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. I'll be right back to introduce my guest, Dr. Alan Sell, who's superintendent of the Bedford School District, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
It's been a long time since I've been anywhere near a school of any stripe, and even a longer time since I've been in a high school. So today, I'm in a high school. I'm in the Bedford County High School, right here in smack in the middle of, as I call it, beautiful downtown Bedford. And with me is the chief banana, Dr. Alan Sell, superintendent of the Bedford County School District. And Alan, first of all, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. It's very gracious of you. I know you're a busy guy.
Well, thank you, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk about our school today.
I guess the first thing I have to find out is I always thought that school superintendents came from somewhere in the sky, you know, maybe, I don't know, California or someplace, but you're a local guy. So did you grow up in Bedford County?
I did. I grew up in northern Bedford County in the Woodbury area. I attended northern Bedford High School and went off to Penn State to be a veterinarian.
Really?
Yes. Spent 4 years in the animal bioscience curriculum. I actually have a bachelor's degree in animal bioscience is my background. But then when it came time to go to veterinarian school, a couple of things happened. First, I may have eaten a few too many pizzas and played a little too much basketball because it's a very competitive postgraduate program. And I may have wanted to get married instead of going off to vet school. So I went back and got a degree in agricultural education and became a teacher. And it was a really good choice for me.
So when you left your undergraduate work at Penn State, you went back to Penn State and
I
took the graduate work in the
I did. I took a 50-year in ag education and student taught. And became an agriculture instructor. And I actually taught in York and Adams County before coming home to be an administrator.
Okay, well, maybe this is an obvious thing to many of the folks that listen to this program, but it's not to me. What exactly does an agricultural instructor do? I mean, I know Penn State's famous for its agricultural program, but what do you do with that?
Well, one of the nice things about agriculture is that it happens wherever you are. In a very rural agricultural area, you may actually teach cows, sows, and plows still. But when I was in suburban York County, I taught a lot of like aquaculture and horticulture and floriculture and things of that nature, which are still agriculture related. But the bigger piece is you teach those things, but you teach kids. And our career and technical programs like agriculture are all connected to a student leadership organization, in that case the FFA, which used to be the Future Farmers of America, but now it's just called the FFA Organization of America because many of the members don't become farmers. They're in all kinds of other industries, finance and real estate and processing and engineering and so many other things. But it's a leadership organization. They learn public speaking. They learn how to run a meeting in parliamentary procedure like our government organizations do. It's a citizenship organization.
I wish some of our elected officials could go to that class. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Now, so this is interesting. I actually know something about York County. My children went to the northern schools there in Dillsburg for a while. And again, being from the eastern part of the state, we weren't used to that rural atmosphere when we first got there. And I remember the most significant thing my son recognized is one day he went to school and there wasn't any school because it was the opening of hunting season. They don't do that in Delaware County, Pennsylvania.
Right. I understand.
Right?
I understand.
So it's all tied back to the agricultural base there.
Actually, my first teaching was in Dover School District, which was a neighboring school district to Northern York.
Right. And I remember that. You went down, kind of, was it 74?
74.
Of Dover. Yeah. So that's interesting. So you've been involved in this your entire life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So
28 years now.
28
so,
years.
Something
Boy,
like that.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm talking to a very young guy here. So it's, of course, compared to me, everybody's a young guy. But nevertheless, it's great to have you here. You're listening to Bedford County Speaks. Our guest today is Dr. Alan Sell, who is the superintendent of the Bedford County School District. Have I got that right? This is the Bedford County School District.
It's correct? Actually the Bedford Area School District.
Okay, Bedford. Yeah, yeah, I need to correct it. Bedford Area School District.
Yes.
Okay, got
yes.
it. Okay, so then you... You said you went around the state from York County to some other places, and were you ever a school principal or anything like that?
Well, I came home after 6 years of teaching, and I came home to be the assistant principal and vocational director at Tyrone Area School District in Blair County.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a farm in northern Bedford County near Queen, up near Claysburg, and have been here ever since. Worked a few years in Tyrone. A couple years in Johnstown as the director of the Career and Technology Center in Johnstown, and then finally to what I do consider my home, my career home, to Bedford, to the Bedford County Technical Center for 7 years as a director there before I came to the district as assistant superintendent, and now superintendent.
Before we get to the district stuff, I want to talk to you a bit about this technical training. When I was a kid, they called it the VOTEC portion of the high school. And I remember when we lived in Chester County for a long time, there was one in Coatesville, a rather good one, I would say. In fact, yes. I actually spoke there a couple of times. And one of my pet peeves is that these VOTECs don't get the credit they deserve because every service truck you see running around outside this building as we speak probably has somebody that's had some VOTEC training.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this is a growth area for young people, that they could do something with this kind of work?
I really do. I believe in it wholeheartedly. Of course, I spent the first 16 years of my career in some aspect of career and technical education, so I really truly believe in it. And Bedford County Technical Center, like many, has grown. When I first came to there in, I believe it was 2000, we had about 180 students. Today, there are 360 students at the Bedford County Technical Center. Under Mr. DePasquale's leadership, they have, and I hope things that we started a few years back, they become a real viable part of economic development in our county. For example, our agriculture and biotechnology program is connected with Lampire Biological as a partner to create a workforce that starts at entry-level technicians right up through PhD level. We're at least a piece of that. In our technical center, we've partnered with manufacturing to create videos that are used to recruit companies to our county. And one of the big draws is that we have a welding program, for example, that is 99% proficient in either proficient or advanced in the competency testing skills test, the NOCTI test that students have to take to prove their skill. That's a big draw. When a company is looking for a workforce, Bedford County's workforce is, and I like to say, it's one generation closer to the agrarian work ethic, and then you add the high-level technical training that they can receive, and they become a big part of the puzzle of economic development and growth.
When I was living in Delaware County, there was a private trade school called Williamson, and it was endowed by a large fortune that obviously was... put forth by a man named Garrett Williamson. And the school is free to anybody that can come who's qualified to come. And it's postgraduate school for high school. So you go leave high school with good marks and then you get into Williamson. And that school is so successful that contractors and manufacturers at the end of every school year line up to get those kids coming out of there. I think they have something like a 100% employment rate every single year. Can you imagine such a thing outside of a university or outside of a college? I mean, where people were lining up to get the students. And that's kind of what really got me religion on this. I didn't realize just how sought after these people are. The fact that a young person, male or female, can learn how to weld is a tremendous, tremendous advantage over someone who can't, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. And then you couple that with the technical pieces of it, the metallurgy and the melting points and all those kinds of things of the technical side, aside from the hand-eye coordination of actually welding, and then you have a quality employee who can not only work for you but also create for you and troubleshoot. And it truly is a great way for students to enter the workforce.
I also think
post-secondary education.
Yeah, I also think that, I don't know, maybe I'm prejudiced about this clearly, but everyone I've ever met from these kinds of programs comport themselves well, speak well, clearly, of course, know arithmetic and mathematics. They have to because of what they're doing, and generally have work ethics that are very, very good. So that's why I say it's kind of a bum rap sometimes. They say, well, if you don't do better in school, you'll end up in the vo-tech. Wait a minute, stop, time out. This is nuts. Right. Should be the other way around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. That this is. And so I guess when I want to kind of wind back to this Bedford Area School District. Is the vo-tech operation under your purview here? Is that part of your job?
Our tech center is a joint school between the Bedford and Everett area school districts.
Okay.
And the Bedford school district, because of population and so forth, funds 55% of the tech center, Everett 45%. Mm-hmm. And we operate together. A joint operating committee comprised of board members from both schools are the governing body.
So you clearly cooperate. And
yes.
Is there a superintendent of the Everett Area School District like yourself?
Yes, and that's Danny Webb, Dr. Danny Webb. And we kind of – there's a director of the Technical Center. That's Dave DePasquale. And then Dr. Webb and I kind of take turns every 2 years being what they call the superintendent of record of that school and go back and forth.
Well, when I got to Bedford 18 months ago, I learned about the Bisons and I learned about the Warriors.
Yeah.
So if you're not a Warrior or a Bison, I guess does NBC have one too? I guess
they do.
They have
Panthers.
A team. The Panthers.
The Panthers.
Okay. And everything sounds so ferocious.
Yeah. Yeah. But the tech center is one area where we cooperate well.
Mm-hmm.
It's about learning and the future of kids and. All those sort of on-field rivalries kind of dissolve in the interest of taking care of kids.
I think one of the things I've noticed coming through this school, at least, I've actually been to Everett High School as well, is that I've lived in other parts of the country, and they always talk about schools not having enough money for this and that. You know, the kids do better because the school's richer, or the building's newer, so the kids do better. This school is magnificent. This is an absolutely well put together. I mean, we're in this spotless room. The entire place is like this. And this is not in the top expensive school district, is it not? I mean, this isn't in the Radnor High, Forest Hills area kind of school district, is it? I mean,
no.
Yeah. So you do well in spite of that. So it's not always about money, is it?
It's not. We're moving into my area of interest in school leadership, and that's culture. It's culture. We don't have torn up bathrooms and bars on the windows and smashed lockers because it's a culture of the vast majority of our students don't want that.
Yeah.
And so those who like to partake in those kinds of things quickly become marginalized. We make the evidence disappear. There's no glory in it. Mm-hmm. And we create a culture of learning and a culture of relationships and a culture where this is our community school. And, yeah, we make a modest tax investment in it compared to other schools. I know it doesn't seem that way when you get your bill, but when you compare the tax effort, Bedford and most of our Bedford County schools have a moderate.
Trust me, folks, you have no idea what high school taxes are.
Yeah. And yet we take a 150-year-old building and create a technological and a pleasingly aesthetic place for students to go to school because we care as a community.
We're going to be back with Dr. Alan Sell at the Bedford Area School District. And when we come back, we're going to learn a bit more about this culture. And perhaps Dr. Sell will explain to us why this is such a magnificent building and the incredibly good-looking and eager young people I see walking up and down the hallway when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. So often, when you want to buy a car or truck, you're told to make sure you get a good deal. So what is a good deal? Is it just the price of the vehicle, or is it something else? At Thomas Chevrolet, we think that a good deal means everything that's important to us. Things like our multi-generational reputation for honesty and integrity, or the free inspection service you get on your purchase after you roll out of here, or the fact that your car or truck has been checked thoroughly by our factory-trained service department to make sure it's safe. Or that we are a family-owned dealership that feels a responsibility to our customers. That's what a good deal means to us. How about you? The next time you need a car or truck, visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru first. We'll show you what a good deal really is.
Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is District Attorney Bill Higgins, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
I'm speaking with Dr. Alan Sell, who is the district director, or the superintendent, I should say, for the Bedford Area School District. And this has been a fascinating conversation. And we were just before the break talking about the culture of a school. Let me ask you, the culture has to begin in first grade, doesn't it?
It does. It begins with, in a lot of ways, it begins the first day of school. For staff, we try to create a culture of positivity. But it does begin in first grade, right at the beginning with our students. In our elementary school, we have a character education program. We call it the BEST program. Character pieces each month or each week for the kids. You know, today it's respect. Tomorrow it's perseverance, et cetera. And that happens entirely way through. Now, just recently, we started a new program called BEST in Action, where our students are not just learning about character education, but they're taking it out into the community. They have literally raised thousands. Last year, about over $10,000 for the community in different things like cancer research and those kinds of things through fundraisers like spaghetti dinners and bringing in shoes and all these kinds of things that they can do. So we're teaching our kids how to be citizens as well as students. Well, the values they learn from that carry through into the classroom. And that happens through a carefully chosen faculty. It happens because our students have something coming to us too. This is a community of families. And strong families and hardworking people who try to take good care of their kids. You see it. When we have family nights, for example, at the school, it's packed. You can't find a parking spot. That's community involvement. That's kids being cared for at home and at school. That's the beginning of it.
I think that one of the things, at least I've observed, is things like family night. I went to a play here at your school, this building, last year, about this time. Is it, when do you have the plays?
Early spring.
Early spring, okay. Early it must spring, have been spring, yeah. Of 2014, something like that. And I was struck with the fact that so many of the parents were coming back to their own school. Mm-hmm. Which is different in Bedford. You know,
it is.
A lot of people will leave town or not come back to their own. So if they've stayed here, they're generally coming back to their own school, aren't they?
Yes.
So that pride is multi-generational, I would guess.
It is. And what's interesting is, even though in rural areas like this you often hear, I've got to get out of here, I've got to go. People do what I've heard the term used, repatriate. Mm-hmm. I'm an example. I spent 6 years away. I came back because this is a good place to raise kids.
I call it the Great Circle Route.
Yep.
Because you really do. It's funny. Mm-hmm. You know, I've lived all over the United States. I came back to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like that old line you used to have for Temple University. You could have gone anywhere. But, you know, this is what happens.
Right.
So it begins, obviously, with the family. Mm-hmm. But a school has to reinforce it. And your teachers are of the same group as the family, are they not?
They really are. They're part of the community,
right,
too. They're not this other alien,
right,
group
not
that comes down
anything,
and comes,
right,
in. They're part of the same community, part of the same ethics, part of the same value system. And they bring that to the kids in the classroom every day. elementary teachers are amazingly wonderful. They are, we use the Latin term in loco parentis sometimes mm-hmm. for legal reasons in the right. school, but truly every day that teacher with those 24, 25 kids in their elementary classroom are in loco parentis. They're being the parent, they're wiping the nose, they're taking care of the kid. They're asking why you're sad today. Why, mm-hmm. you know, tell me why you're smiling so much today. Right. You know, they create that.
So by creating that, the child will communicate that back to their parents when they come home. Mm-hmm. And hopefully if the parents are doing their job, they'll reinforce what you folks are doing.
Right, right. And when the base needs of the student are taken care of, then they're ready to learn.
Yeah.
So that culture, that family culture, that value-centered family culture then creates a culture of learning. And then that's our ultimate mission and outcome is student learning. And it fits together.
Do you and your paid staff have volunteers here? Does anybody volunteer in the school?
We have probably over 100 volunteers in either coaches or field trip chaperones or helpers and, you know, right. and so forth. Now, that tends to step down. There's a lot in the elementary school, a few in the middle school, and not quite so many right. in the high school, just the nature of – I know when I was in high school, I would say to my mom, you can stay home today. It's
okay. I don't want
to
see you in my school.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't even want to admit I have one.
Right. yeah. But we have a ton of volunteer coaches, and again – part of the culture, athletics, band, chorus, those kinds of things that kids or in varathon or spelling bee or all kinds of things that kids get involved in outside of school create connection and community. And then having those volunteer coaches be part of that, it's a wonderful connection between the funded by the taxpayer and the given by the community.
Our guest is Dr. Alan Sell, who is the superintendent of the Bedford Area School District, and we're having a great conversation about learning about how these schools operate. I think people come to school board meetings, if they come at all, and the first thing they'll do is to stand up and say, why are my taxes so high? Mm. I guess that's probably hear that more than anything.
You know, we have a community that kind of accepts the responsibility of taxes to have what we have as a school. Although, of course, everyone would like to pay less taxes. So, yeah, we hear it some.
Just want to have a little message for the people of Bedford County. I just moved from a county that has some of the highest taxes, school taxes, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And this is a true story. The woman who sold us our house, the real estate woman sold us our house, told us what our tax bill was going to be. And I said, okay. I said, that's a little high. I didn't expect it to be that high, but okay. And she said, no, dear, that's a year, not a month. And that I honestly thought she was talking about an amount of money per month. Mm-hmm. And that's how vastly different it is here from where other people live. I mean, it is not uncommon for someone, for example, in the Philadelphia or Pittsburgh immediate area will spend $15,000 to $20,000 a year in school taxes. And everybody here would come out with a gun if they hadn't heard a figure like that. So you're really fortunate. I just want to let everybody know that.
Yeah. I think we have a very successful school. And just to share some numbers real quickly, and not to overdo numbers because
sure.
But we spend somewhere for a regular education, not special education with special needs and so forth, but for regular education student, we spend somewhere right around $11,000 to educate each student here in our district. It is not uncommon in the eastern part of the state and the far western part of the state to hear numbers as high as $18,000 to $22,000 sure. per student to educate. It's just a very different connection. I mean, salaries are much higher. There are more options and so forth. I think we provide a lot for our kids. I think there's a lot for them to do. And we are very successful, but we do it on a pretty good budget.
Well, those people that live in those other places are culturally deprived. They don't understand. They don't have things like hokey G's. So yeah. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's different, yeah.
And I think Bedford County is one of the most spectacular places to live, and that's why we're so eager to move here. What is it about school today that gets everybody excited? Is the old soul, we have your children and your money. Is that kind of what it is? I mean, everybody, it's just a center kind of issue for a lot of people.
The what gets people excited for?
Yeah. I mean, both positively and negatively. I mean, you're really the center point of most people's lives and families.
Well, I think a school, and especially in a community like this, where you don't have, you know, like in Pittsburgh, you have the Pirates and the, mm-hmm. And so forth, right. Or the Penguins and right. so forth. This becomes a center of our community, and we understand that. Why is that? Well, I think it's because there's connection. There's mm-hmm. something. There's something about it that draws people together. Whether it's a Friday night on the football field, or a Tuesday night in the gym with the girls' volleyball team, or whether it's the musical in the spring where 800 people come to see their kids sing and dance, it brings us together for a common purpose. And a common purpose is to make something different. You know, I talk sometimes about whether a school is a microcosm of society or an influence on society, and I think the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's both. Sure. It's both. We reflect what society wants, and we also influence it through the education we provide. And I think that's just what happens in these communities like this.
I think everybody pretty much gravitates back to their primary and secondary education. It's probably the high point of their lives, too, sometimes. I mean, everybody talks about their high school years. I don't care who you are. I mean,
it's a formative time and memory, and it makes deep and long-term right. friendships and memories. It's part of you.
I mean, whether they joined the service or got their first job or whatever it is, that this is really a very, very important part of their life.
It is.
Well, I've learned a lot here today. Is there anything we've missed here?
I find it interesting that we've had a discussion about schools and we haven't talked about test scores once. Well, and I'm glad to say, I'm glad we haven't, because, you know, we're – Our theme this year is kind of their why, discovering our why, their future, and our destiny. And it's kind of our theme for this year for our staff and looking forward. Discovering that our why is the kids. But it's also about creating that culture and all those things. And we truly believe that if we discover our why, we look to their future and discover the destiny of the school, test scores will take care of themselves. We'll create a place where learning happens. Kids will learn how to do the math and all this and read and all those kinds of things, and then it'll happen. Do we have to take care of the nuts and bolts? Sure. That we have to
have
do.
To have a scorecard. I was a business owner for 30 some years, and I remember we had people coming in all the time looking for jobs, and they would tell me what their GPA was and so forth. I care about that kind of, but what I care about is what's inside you. So I don't know if you agree with that assessment, but that's pretty much it for me, lawyer.
I agree with it completely. And let me give you just one quick example of something in our school right now, if we have time. We have a 3-0 football team right now.
Mm.
That's really cool.
Yes, it is.
That helps the culture. That helps the climate of the school.
Yay, team.
But what really makes me proud of that team is this summer they spent time together as a team building houses for Habitat for Humanity. They went in vans to Pittsburgh to do post-chemo visits with children at Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh on their own time with parent volunteers and coaches. They were here morning after morning this summer at daybreak, rolling over tractor tires and pushing sleds. That's what makes me proud of our football team. The 3-0 record happened because of the culture they created on all those other things.
And I'll tell you something, that's what Yale wants on their resume. Dr. Alan Sell, wonderful to speak with you. I really enjoyed our conversation very much. And if you want, we can schedule another program where we can talk all about test scores. But
nah, that's okay. And I do appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
No, it's been great. I really enjoyed you speaking with you very much. Jay Sessna said you'd be a good interview, and he's correct as advertised. So I'll be sure to let him know. Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. If you'd like to hear today's program again, just visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and the lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.